Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
What it do, baby? Welcome back to another episode of the Take Six Podcast. I know it has been a very long time since we last recorded, but we thought that this was going to be a special moment to do so, and this was the perfect time because the start of the Raptors and the NBA season is right around the corner to start 2019-20. We're recording this on Monday, October 21st. The Raptors' home opener is Tuesday, October 22nd. They're starting their season off against the New Orleans Pelicans, getting their rings, raising the banner. I'm Hunter Surplus, and as always with me is my main man, Callum Wise. Callum, what a do, man.
Yeah, like you said, it's been a while since we recorded something, but I'm glad we're back. It's a great time, man. It's Christmas for sports fans.
Well, basketball fans.
Yeah, basketball fans. To be honest, I have not been this excited about the start of a season or a league in a very, very long time. I'm not going to lie. We are here, and we're joined by my little doggo, Scout, 9-month-old golden retriever. At the moment, she's licking my toes. I don't know if that's TMI, but anyways, we're going to get started. We're going to go through some questions that Callum and I have kind of come up with together. There's about 10 of them, and we're just going to talk about, you know, the big questions that we have going through this season. But to start off, what I want to do is we've got a couple beers here to celebrate the start of the season, so we're just going to crack these guys, and we're going to cheers before we get going. So,
cheers, bro.
Cheers, buddy. So before we actually get into the questions, some things that happened over the offseason, and the offseason, you know, being more, you know, close to now, I guess, that happened was that, well, the biggest thing, obviously, was that Pascal Siakam got his max extension.
He got his bag.
Callum, initial reaction to this?
Wasn't that surprised. Because, I mean, you and me have both been advocates of Pascal Siakam for a long time. And I think it was a no-brainer that they would sign him to a max contract. Like, 130 mils, that's a lot of money. It's like, it's crazy because, like, this stuff's happening, you know, like with Buddy Hield right now.
Well, he just signed today too. 4 years, $94 million.
Yeah, it's like
steal.
$94 million.
Steal.
Like,
yeah.
Siakam got his bag. I'm glad. I'm glad he did because I want him here in the long run. That's 4 more years, just like not Trump, hopefully.
So, do you think like for me? So this will be the first question of our 2019-20 season questions, and this is more of a off season question. Do you think that they should have waited the year before extending him, or do you think that it was a good idea to just do it right now?
Maybe it would have changed the look or the amount of money depending on how he plays this season. Like it would have gone up or down maybe, but I think now is a great time to sign him. Just like right after losing Kawhi. I think now he's the face of the Raptors franchise. I think that it was the perfect time to sign him to that extension now, especially when obviously side to all the China stuff, that salary caps may go up. Well, they may go down because of China, but they were going to eventually go up because the NBA is the biggest growing or the fastest growing league in the world. Now, not so much, but, I mean, hey, if he's the one guy on our team, he's the one guy I want.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that, where, like, they were definitely going to give it to him probably by the end of this year. There's not really a reason outside of kind of keeping that relationship stable to give him that extension right now. They could have saved a little bit of, you know, luxury or, you know, cap room if they did it next year, because then they would be able to sign him using the bird rights and they would have 26 available to give to somebody else, especially with, you know, Gasol and Ibaka coming off the books. But I think it is really important. Like, you know that he's going to be that number one guy regardless. So why not just sign him right away, I guess, is kind of my thing with that. But you know what? I'm happy that they did it anyways. You know, he was going to get it. He was going to be that man. We knew he was going to. Now, this leads into our second question. Callum, is Pascal Siakam, do you think, going to be able, and this kind of goes beyond just this season, obviously, but do you think Pascal Siakam is going to be able to take on that number one role and be obviously like the number one scorer, one of the most, you know, leaned upon playmakers and ball handlers and stuff this season? Or do you think that he might kind of fold under the pressure of all the bigger guys guarding him?
I mean, if you look back on last year, all those games that Kawhi didn't play is where Pascal pretty much thrived. Like, that's where he would show out and get those big career numbers, like the 44 points. Like, this guy would show out when Kawhi was not on the floor. It's going to be a little bit different this year because now people know how good he is and they're going to defend him harder, probably. I think that won't change much because he is much more athletic than pretty much everyone in the NBA. Having that soccer background, you know, like, you can tell this guy will spin you into a new dimension, man. This guy, you can't handle his spins, but I definitely think people are going to defend him harder. But now that he's the number one, or going to be the number one guy on this team, and like, he's going to get the ball a lot more, especially because Kawhi is gone, I think he's going to thrive. I think he's going to do stupid numbers this year.
Yeah, and obviously, like, his usage is going to go up, so he'll get more touches. He had a really good assist ratio last year, and like, his assist percentage was really good, and his points, he scored a lot more points last year. He was pretty efficient. So I think, you know, obviously with more usage, the chance of your efficiency going down is kind of, you know, it makes sense. So him dropping a little bit in efficiency might be okay, but I'm kind of with you. And from everything that we've seen in the preseason and heard from all the guys on the court, and, you know, all the other guys who play on the team and Nick Nurse and whatnot, about how he's looked so far this year, I think it's really only up from here for Pascal Siakam. And I think he is really going to be one of these guys who is going to kind of make an all-star push and an all-NBA push. And he's going to, you know, he's not just a scorer either, or someone on the offensive end, but he could have made an all-defensive team last year. He just didn't, right? Yeah. And I think the same thing's going to happen this year. He's going to be one of the best defenders, and he's probably going to average over 20-something points per game. It just, you know, it just depends on where he goes after this season. Is his trajectory still going to go up a little bit? Is he going to get better until he turns 30? Or is he kind of going to plateau at the end of this season, at the end of next season? I think that's where it's going to be an important thing to see. But I like him being paired with guys like Kyle Lowry and Van Fleet and Marc Gasol and whatnot, because, you know, not only is he going to be able to learn from some really smart guys, but they're also going to be able to help him out a lot in terms of getting him the ball at the proper situations, or just kind of knowing where to be and really spacing the floor for him and whatnot. So I think he's in a really good situation. And I think that, you know, if he's on any other team, he probably doesn't have the success that he does, just because the Raptors are so good and so set and have some really good people around him to play like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're both in the consensus that the Pascal Siakam max was good. I think that, you know, they might have been a little bit premature on it, but it was going to happen regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But so now that we're done talking about Pascal Siakam, what do you think the Raptors win total is going to be this year? And what seed are they going to be?
Okay. We had some time to think about it because we were talking about this when we were out earlier today. But damn, man, it is tough. Last year, I was very confident in my, what did I say, 60?
You said 60 wins. And they won just under.
Yeah. And, man, this year I'm thinking, I'm going to say 50 on the dot.
50 on the dot. And what seed is that going to make them?
I want to say fourth.
Okay. I like that. I like that. I'm going to say that they're going to win 52 games and be the 3 seed. I wanted to, you know, like, I like your pick at 50-4 because I think that's a really good, you know, I think that's a really good number. But the only thing is being number, like, there's not going to be more than 3 50-win teams in the East. So I think your pick has to be 50 and third seed. Just because, like, who else in the East is going to win 50 games other than the Bucks and Philly?
Maybe the Pacers?
Okay, fair enough. So you've got 50 in the fourth seed, and I've got 52 in the third seed, which I think is a pretty solid. I think, you know, that's a pretty solid outcome for them. But what do you think their worst case scenario could be?
Like in terms of wins and
wins placing? And losses, yeah. Yeah.
I think somewhere along the lines of like 42, 41 with like finishing seventh.
So you think they make the playoffs pretty much?
I think they're going to make the playoffs no matter what.
I think the big, unless they get injuries to,
unless they get, yeah, like to their main guys.
All of Gasol, Siakam, and Ibaka, and Lowry, then I think, yeah, I agree with that. So, yeah, I'm probably right. I think I might go with a little bit closer to, you know, 45 wins as their worst case scenario, just because there's so many garbage teams in the East that they're going to play, right? Yeah. Like, I think they play the Cavs 3 times this year. They play the Knicks 4.
Yeah.
They play the Hawks 3 or 4 times. Like, you're going to be playing some really bad teams a lot of times, and that's going to give you an automatic base of X amount of wins, and then that's going to be on top of the games that they're going to win against the Nets or against the some of those teams in the West and the Magic and the Heat and all these teams that are going to be just a little bit below them, and obviously the games that they're going to steal from teams like the Bucks and teams like the Lakers and Clippers and whatnot. So I think 45 is about right, and you know, that I think that probably gets them pretty high up in the standings in the East. But I mean, the worst case scenario in terms of their seeding, I think they don't go below 7, right? And like, I mean, 45 is going to be above. It's going to be above 7 anyways. I'm just not exactly sure what that is. And so do you think that the 50 wins is their best case, or do you think that they have potential to maybe get a little bit higher than that?
I think they definitely could. Like, best case wouldn't be like 53, 54 wins. Pushing top, well, definitely push like in the top 3, maybe pushing second.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd say I'm going to probably go 55, 56 wins. I think there's no chance they get to 60. You know, I don't know if there's really a case to make for that at all, them winning 60 games. But, you know, I like them being in the top 2. If you see an injury to a guy like Giannis or to a guy like Embiid who miss a lot of time. But I don't think there's a scenario where they end up first in the conference, and I don't think that there's a scenario where they're winning, you know, 58, 59, 60 games, because it's going to be a dogfight, you know, with those top 2 teams out there, and it's going to be a dogfight with the guys. And when you're going out west, it's going to be a hard fought battle in all of those games that you play against the guys in the west. So I think that's it. So for your worst case scenario, does that account for like them maybe trading away some of the guys like Lowry and stuff, or no? If they do,
I think, yeah, that definitely does play a part, but I think injuries is the biggest concern, especially for the age of the Raptors starting lineup.
Yeah, because last year they did have some relatively decent health. Obviously, Lowry missed a little bit of time there in the middle of the season, but
Ibaka missed some time,
but then you had guys like Siakam who played pretty much every game, and Gasol, once he got here, played pretty much every game, didn't get injured much. And I mean, obviously Kawhi was out only a couple games there with injuries, and then sat with load management, and then Van Fleet was healthy, and Powell was pretty healthy for the majority of the season, and then OG was out for pretty much the whole thing. But I mean, yeah, I like, they did endure some pretty good health last year, and it might be a different thing. Who do you think is going to come out of the Eastern Conference? I know we kind of touched on Milwaukee and Philly being the top 2 teams. Do you think it's pretty much just between those 2 coming out of the East?
For this year, I think it's just those 2. I think Philly's going to take it. I think they're going to go to the finals.
Yeah, I am up there. Like, you know, I'm on the same page as you there because they really are good. And, you know, they were
our hardest challenge of the playoffs.
They were. They really were. And their starting five got better, but their depth got worse. And I think that the loss of Brogdon on the Bucks is going to be I think it's a little underrated right now, but I think it's going to be a really big problem for them coming into next season. The only thing is, you know, if Budenholzer takes away that 35 minutes a night kind of thing in the playoffs for Giannis, he is, you know, able to average probably 38 points a game and like 15 rebounds, which sounds nuts, but it's like absolutely possible.
Yeah.
And the guy's just a freak. And I, you know, they made it to the conference finals for a reason and they were up 2-0 for a reason, but it's just, you never know, right? I think I like the Bucks a lot and I like Giannis. And I think he is, you know, one of the best players in the NBA. He's the best player in the conference for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, are they going to play him correctly? And I think the system is perfect around him. And I think, you know, Middleton has to get better and Bledsoe has to get better in the playoffs. But it's I don't know. It'll be a hard-fought series, but I'm with you there. I'm leaning 76ers as well, which is good. So I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier when talking about your things, but who out of these three, who do you think is most likely to be traded? Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, or Serge Ibaka?
I think...
all expiring contracts, by the way.
Yeah, I definitely think it's Lowry. After the playoffs he had, you know, like being the leader of the team that just won the NBA championship. And Gasol is much, like, he's pretty old. Like, I think he's definitely a good trade piece, too, because he won the NBA championship. He won the FIBA World Cup. He has those under his belt. He's a good veteran piece for any team. And that's what the Raptors did with him. I think they're most likely to keep Serge. But they're... yeah, I think it's Lowry for sure as the number one guy to get traded.
Yeah, and he's going to be the most desired.
Yeah, he's the most valuable
asset for sure, right? He will be the most valuable, and the only thing is him getting that extra year with that extension is going to be. It might be tough to trade him, but then again, it is only 1 year. So if there's a team who is contending and they need a point guard like a Lowry, it'd be interesting to see what kind of stuff you could get back from them. But I also think, you know, if a team sees what Marc Gasol is capable, you know, if a team saw what Marc Gasol did last year for the Raptors and how he was really able to improve both their offense and their defense simultaneously, I don't know why someone wouldn't want around the trade deadline to say, hey, look, you know, the Raptors aren't necessarily doing as well as they expected. Let's throw a couple guys over there and try to get Marc Gasol. If we have a push for the playoffs and we need to get a little bit better here, I don't see why a team wouldn't do that. I mean, that was one of the biggest moves and one of the best moves that the Raptors did. And I don't think the Raptors win the championship last year if they don't have Marc Gasol there. So teams are probably going to look at that and say, hey, maybe we can try to trade for a guy like Gasol and maybe he gets to a better team. But I do still think that Lowry is probably the most valuable, but I think Gasol is going to be the most likely to be traded. And, you know, Serge Ibaka, I think you're just going to keep him and see what's going on from there. If you see Lowry get traded, where do you want to see him go? Do you want to see him go to a contender, or do you want to see him go somewhere where he's just going to be the man?
I think contender, especially like when you're that late in your career, I don't think you need to be the man anymore. I think you just want to solidify yourself, you know, as a better player, or not a better, like, what's the word? Not as like a Hall of Famer, because
maybe
yeah, but I think definitely it's contender over the man.
Yeah. Do you, okay, they've been throwing out talks about like maybe trades to the Miami Heat. Are you into that?
I wouldn't be opposed. Like, who would we get back for that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's a tough call.
It is. It really is. But so the only upside that I see of like trading Lowry, obviously other than the picks coming or whatever you're getting coming back, would be that you would have multiple fan bases now understand how damn good Kyle Lowry is.
Yeah.
And there would be more appreciation for Kyle Lowry around the league, and I think that that is a much-needed thing. I think that it is a much, much-needed thing. So that is the only thing that I would be ready for in terms of Kyle Lowry being traded, but I don't know. I guess we'll see. I'm not emotionally ready, per se.
I love the guy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to see him go. The backup for Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet. Do you think he's going to start more games than come off the bench, or do you think he's going to come off the bench more than start?
Come off the bench more than start, I think. Definitely to start the season.
I don't know, man, because I don't know who they're... They don't really have a solidified shooting guard right now.
You think they're going to go double small?
Well, who... Because they'll probably play Norm or OG at the small forward with Siakam and Gasol, right? Doesn't that make sense?
But they could go double big.
Yeah, like they could go. I don't think they'll go Serge and Gasol. I'd be shocked if they went that more than the other way around.
Yeah. Maybe they do the double small. I think it depends on the lineup. If it's like that, then for sure VanVleet starts more than off the bench.
Yeah.
But if it's just one point guard, then I think Lowry definitely starts more than VanVleet.
Yeah. I don't know which I would prefer. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I would prefer VanVleet coming off the bench or if I would prefer him.
I think I would like to see them split it even because Lowry doesn't deserve to come off the bench. And I think VanVleet needs to show more often that he can be the main point guard for this team. Because he got some starts last year, but because we were a contender, they really didn't let him do that.
Well, he started in the finals. The last four after game two, I think it was, he started in the finals.
Yeah.
And then we went 3-1.
Because he was a fucking freak in the finals. Like, that guy was insane.
Yeah.
And I think that is another reason why they should let him have more start time.
Yeah. But I know I agree with you coming off the bench because I don't know if you utilize him in the most correct way when you're having him out there with Kyle Lowry, who is very ball dominant and who is going to have the ball in his hands more often than not as a point guard.
And he needs to learn from Lowry because you and me have been saying this forever that Freddie VanVleet needs to not hold onto the ball for 16 seconds.
This guy, if he, like, I mean, in the preseason games, he has done it a little bit, but it's a lot less than last year, man, because that is so
every
annoying.
Time you get the ball, me and Hunter would be like, all right, here we go, we're counting it, there's 1, 2, 3. Oh, he goes forward, comes back, dribbles outside. Oh, what's he gonna do? Oh, he fucks it up. Yes.
Yeah, so I think
but then he didn't do that as much in the finals.
Yeah, and I think he'll probably come off the bench a little bit, but then again, he won't be doing that if he starts with Kyle Lowry, right?
But I dude, Freddie off ball.
Unreal, dude. I've been saying this for 2 years already that Fred VanVleet off ball is the best way to use him. Keep run him through screens and let him bang threes in people's faces.
Bro, he was banging threes better than Steph Curry like this guy was the Steph Curry dominator. Like he was the best defender in the league against Steph Curry. How are you not gonna take that into like if you're the best defender against Steph Curry? Possibly, well, the best shooter of all time. You come on, like that's an insane stat to have, and the fact that this guy would just bang threes like it was nothing against the best 3-point shooting team in the league was just poetic justice.
Yeah, like I think VanVleet is gonna need He's going to need time to show himself because he's in a contract year this year, right? Like, he's going to be off the books. And I guess I should have thrown him in there in that grouping of, you know, who's most likely to be traded. But, you know, he bet on himself with that kind of two-year bridge deal. And with them signing Lowry back, I don't know if that means that there's a lot of room for Van Fleet to be part of this team in the future. And I think that something that could happen this year and could get in the way, which I'm not sure it will because he is such a team player, but maybe he does one of those things where he turns into one of those guys who really
demands a trade,
but like who is going to be shooting the ball like crazy and you know, trying to make
the, like his, he was last year in the regular season.
Yeah. But like showing that he deserves the most money and is trying to kind of lead the team and not really give anyone else a chance because it's his contract year. But who knows? Maybe that means we'll get the best out of him.
I think that is another reason why Lowry is most likely to be traded. It's because they want to make this team young and pave the, like, because our future is very bright.
Absolutely.
Like, we have Siakam, obviously the main piece. We have Freddie. We have OG. We have Powell on a good day. And then you can get really good pieces for Lowry, for Gasol, for Ibaka. You can get really good young pieces for that. And then turn this team into a rebuild team that isn't shit. Because you already have that core that's played together for 2+ years. They played together in the G League. They won the G League together. Like, not all of them, but I think it was Siakam and Fred.
Yeah.
Was it just those two?
I think so.
Yeah. And that is that's very exciting. I like it a lot. That, because you and me, we said this last year, we weren't that afraid of losing Kawhi because we knew we had something to fall back on, and we do. Plus, we won the championship. So
yeah, and it's cool to see like this team kind of come to fruition and like see that, like what we have in terms of our young guys. So moving on to the next question, Cal. What is going to be your favorite lineup? And this doesn't have to be like which lineup do you think that they're going to start the most or which lineup do you want them to start the most? Just like which lineup do you think that they'll go to that you're going to enjoy more than the others?
See, like the whole thing about not having a shooting guard changes it. I mean, seeing if I could have it, you know, Freddie off ball with Lowry as the main point guard, and then you got like OG and Siakam and Gasol together. I think that's a really good lineup. But then we also have these really good pieces that we got in the offseason that could potentially play a role in that, depending on how they fit into the system. I think that's my preferred lineup is Freddie, Lowry, OG, Siakam, and Gasol.
Yeah, so I'm going to go a little bit, like, I like that lineup too, obviously. I think that's going to be one that is going to be seen a lot. But I'm going to go with one that might not be used a whole lot, but will be fun to watch at least. And that's going to be Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, OG, well, I guess it'd be Siakam, then OG, and either Kyle Lowry or Fred Van Fleet. So it's
all bigs.
So it's just going to be a massive lineup. And I guess I would throw out Lowry there. I was going to say because of defense, but Van Fleet is just like,
they're both
really good on the defensive end. So, I mean, either of those guys can be used out there. But I think I really like that lineup because it's going to be really big. It's going to be, you know, Gasol and Ibaka out there will be a dominant force. And then you have Siakam and OG who can both kind of, you know, Siakam hopefully is going to improve his shot. And then obviously you've got Van Fleet or Lowry to really space the floor. And then OG can space the floor a little bit, but it's going to be a lot of athleticism, a lot of length with Gasol, Ibaka, Siakam, and OG out there. And I think that would just be so fun to watch them just like cause havoc, wreak havoc on the defensive end, and then offensively just kind of be freakishly athletic and fun to watch. Like I think that would be a great lineup, to say the least. So going into one of our last questions here, who is going to be the most improved player of this year? Because obviously Siakam was the most improved player of the entire league last year. But what do you think is going to be the most improved Raptor this season? And it's hard to come up with one because everyone played so damn well. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I want to say Chris Boucher because of how well he did in the G League. He does have to, he has to gain some weight because this guy is a literal stick. But I think he has potential to, because he showed he can block for sure. He's very tall and like, yeah, he's athletic. Like, he scored a lot of points in the G League. He got a lot of blocks. Didn't he win
MVP?
MVP, right? Yeah. So, like, that's why I think he's going to be. Plus, he's going to get more time now that they're not so focused on winning the championship unless they make some big trades or some shit, but I doubt it.
Yeah, and if there's an injury to, like, Gasol or Ibaka, probably see him get a lot more minutes or whatnot.
Yeah, I think, especially because you said everyone played well last year, so it's kind of hard to say anyone on the starting roster.
Well, I think a pretty obvious one would be OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
You know, like, he didn't really play at all last year, and when he did play, he looked pretty brutal. But I don't want to say that, but I'm going to say a guy who did have a solid year last year, but I think he has a room for improvement, is going to be Norm Powell. Because Norm Powell, he had 8.6 points last year, 1.5 assists. He shot 40% from three and 48% from the field. I think that if he can keep up that three-point shooting out there and shoot, you know, above 40% or, you know, at 40% from three, with the usage he's going to get, he's probably going to get an uptick in minutes from the 18 he had last year. I mean, he's probably going to be getting, you know, the playing time that he does get, he'll be one of the more focused guys. And if he can be a better defender, which he has been, right? Like, he's been a pretty good defender in his short career so far. But I think he can see, you know, up to 15 points per game, depending on what his minutes are. And we'll probably see a few really good games from Powell. Maybe he drops, you know, 30 points in a game or 40 or something like that, and something coming off the bench. I think he's going to be one of those guys to kind of light it up this year and really improve his stock and his value for this team. But I do like your Boucher answer because that's a little bit more, you know, I think, pretty much anything he does is going to be an improvement for last year, which I think is a very safe bet. But I think Powell for me. So, second last question, Cal. Who is most likely to score 50 points for the Toronto Raptors this year?
So, you and me were talking about this a little bit beforehand, and we couldn't really, like, there's no definite person.
Not even close.
Because, like, there are, like, the more obvious answers that people would pick, like Siakam, like
Siakam. That's, yeah, Siakam, like Siakam. Maybe Siakam.
Maybe a little bit of Siakam. But then you got the guys who you don't think could, but definitely could.
Yeah.
Like, Fred VanVleet could have a 50-point night. I think Fred VanVleet could have a 50-point night. I think, Fred and I swear I said someone else.
You said Powell. You said Powell.
I said Norm Powell because Terrence Ross did it.
Yeah. And he's kind of, you know, he's like a little T. Ross. And if he, right, and, you know, like I just mentioned there, he is a good three-point shooter. And if he, like, if one of Lowry or Van Fleet or both are sitting one game, and maybe even Lowry and Siakam or Van Fleet and Siakam are sitting at one game and they really need some offense, they're going to need to turn to someone, and that someone's probably going to be Norm Powell. And that's why I really like that pick. But you mentioned it, like, I think the one who will get it is Van Fleet. You know, he's a really good three-point shooter. And if he has a stretch where he was playing like he did at the end of the Bucks series, and at the end of the I was gonna say World Series for some reason, but at the end of the finals, I think it's pretty, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say he could go for 50 if he just bangs, you know, 10 3-pointers and is just doing everything out there. So I think, you know, Powell and Van Fleet are probably the ones to go with, other than Siakam.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Siakam was close last year with 44, a couple 40-point games, and, you know, he's probably going to break his personal record for points 10 yeah. times again this year, but we'll see then when it happens. Lastly, Callum, so this is going to be the last real question. The second one is going to be, this next one after is going to be a little bit kind of off the top here that I just thought of. What is the game that you're most looking forward to this year?
So obviously people would think that the Clippers one, when like the home return, you know, he gets his ring. Kawhi, I'm talking about, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not that excited to see him in a different uniform just yet.
Not at all, man.
Like, it's...
That sounds horrible.
Like, we had the time to cope with the DeMar DeRozan thing. But then just... Kawhi is too fresh, you know? You only had him for 1 year. We won a championship, and then this guy's gone.
Yeah, and him getting his ring is going to bring back a whole slew of memories, too.
Yeah. So I definitely don't think that's the game I'm looking forward to the most. But I want to say, like, a game against, like, one of the new Eastern teams. Like, just to get a look at, like, what's going to be going on in the future.
Yeah, like how they match up against the Sixers or whatever, right?
Sixers, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Boston even. And, yeah, and then obviously, like, I'm really looking forward to Tuesday's game. Like, the first game of the season, we get the honor of playing one of the first games along with the LAs and New Orleans for some reason.
Yeah, that's one I was going to say. Like, I like that the home opener would have been my for sure answer if Zion was playing.
He's not.
But he's not playing, right? Obviously his injury. But, you know, I like all those, and like you said, like, I don't know. I want to see, one of the biggest things that I want to see is how Siakam matches up against some of the best players at his position this year. And obviously, like you said, you don't want to see Kawhi come back because it's kind of, you know, it's going to be bad, right? But seeing how Siakam matches up against a guy like Kawhi Leonard, or even a guy like LeBron or Paul George, Luka Doncic, whatever it is, it's going to be interesting to see, like, is he really one of these top guys in the league who can really be outstanding and who can really lead this team for the foreseeable future? And I don't see why not. Another one I'm excited for is obviously the Christmas Day game, right? It's going to be their first Christmas Day game. It's in Toronto. I'm looking to get tickets for that. I'm trying to see if I can get out of some of the family functions. I'm seeing if I can get going to that game, but we'll see closer to that date. But I think, you know, obviously any game where there's star players coming to town is a good one. Seeing how they match up against some of the best teams is a really good point. Seeing how they match up against some of the newer teams is going to be really fun to see as well. So, you know what? Even going up against guys who match up really well with the team, I think is going to be fun to watch. And this team is just going to be really entertaining either way. So, Callum, to finish this off, the Raptors are wearing their old school dino jerseys this year, at least a couple times. Do you think, or if you're to get a jersey of that, like, you know, the dino jersey, which one are you going to get? Who on the back?
So definitely, like, is it just the white and purple? Like, white with a blue, yeah, purple dinosaur?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That one's better than the purple one.
I'm investing in Siakam. So
you are,
I'm
right?
Getting another one.
Yeah, so I'm thinking the same thing.
But you know, like
a Van, like I think
literally
Van
about to
Fleet,
say Van Fleet.
Like a Van Fleet one, like a Van Fleet jersey would be dirty.
But he might
I just
leave.
Need to know that this yes. this guy is going to be back next year.
It's that's why I didn't get Kawhi jersey.
Yeah.
That's
or even, you know,
why I didn't get Kawhi
even
jersey.
A Lowry jersey, right? Like I could go Lowry because even if he gets traded, like Lowry's one of the biggest guys in you know, in Toronto Raptors history. So
yeah.
you'll never fail with a Lowry jersey with like one of the coolest jerseys in the league. Van Fleet. So I'm torn between Siakam, Van Fleet, and Lowry. I already have a Siakam jersey. And if he makes the All-Star team this year, I'll probably get a Siakam All-Star jersey.
Oh, yeah.
But I also want the Siakam this jersey, right? Because Siakam is my favorite player.
Buddy, let's just drop dalliance and buy like, am six I, jerseys like,
am I just
this
gonna,
year.
I know, but like, am I just going to be the Siakam super fan? Like, is that what I'm going to turn into? Or should I try to get the, you know, switch it up and get Van Fleet and then see him leave and wear a different team jersey? Or do I go with the Lowry jersey? Because you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
Talking
I
myself
mean,
more and more.
We were already considered Siakam super fans when we went to that Philly game.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are some people behind us. Like
what was that, game five? Yeah.
Game five. Yeah. Where we destroyed them like by 40 yeah. points.
I like to think that I started that airplane thing that that Drake was doing.
He did. He did it way before Drake was doing it. But yeah, I too also have just, or I have a Siakam jersey, but I also want to get one for Siakam in the Dino, but I also want to get one for Van Vliet, but he might leave. Damn.
Yeah. So I guess Kyle, I'll leave you to think about that one because I'm going to need to think about it too. So that's the end of this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back at some point after one of these games to talk Raptors. Maybe after opening night, we'll see what's going on. See how in the tank we are. But I'm so happy that it is Raptors season yet again because I get to go out every other night, every third night, and get plastered with my friends and watch my favorite team play basketball. And I hope you guys are as excited as I am.